Welcome to another City Gate Atlanta teaching. As an apostolic training and equipping center, it's our desire to empower you to fulfill your God-given destiny with tools like this teaching. For more information about City Gate Atlanta and our resources, go to citygateatlanta.org.
How many of you know that in 2020 we entered into a totally different era? By the time we hit March, everything was shut down. And it was, interestingly enough, the number for 80, which is the year 5783, which is the Hebraic year for this year, and then we had entered into 5780. And the 80 is pay, P-E-Y, and it has to do with our voice and our mouth. So what happened by the time we were hitting up next to Passover is that we all were masked. And our voices were shut down. Our services, our gatherings together were cut off. The sound of praise was silenced in certain parts of the country because they were commanded not to sing. And so the very thing that was happening at that time, the enemy came in and said, okay, whoa, wait a minute. The people of God are about to loose their sound into the earth, and we're going to shut them up. Just look at it prophetically for a minute. So we went through this whole season for the last 2.5 years of having our voice stifled. But as we're entering into this year, it's time to take it back. It's time for us to take our voice back, release the sound of our mouth, and move into a place of declarations and decrees unhindered by the masking of the enemy. Now, honestly, I'm not even talking as much about a mask because I haven't worn a mask in so long. It's kind of hard, except when you walk in someplace and they make you. Which even that's been lifted. I'm talking about the masking of the enemy that's tried to silence us and tell us we can't say anything, that we can't speak out, that we simply need to stay within the four walls of the confines of the church rather than being a voice that causes the waves of awakening to go into the community. See, God's looking for a people that will be bold enough to say what he says and to shout it from the mountaintop. Not to be timid, not to be holding back, but to stand up, be bold and courageous, and release the sound of the word of the Lord. Release the sound of praise. Release a joyful shout. Release the war cry. I have a feeling it was a bit of the war cry that threw our sound system out of whack a minute ago. Because we had a sound of a war cry. But see, God's wanting us to shift out of the old where we just went along. Because, see, religion taught us to get along. Just get along. Don't cause any ruffles. Don't mess anybody up. Don't offend anybody. Do you know Jesus offended everybody? And he most definitely offended the religious. And yet we have been taught, well, don't be offensive. I'm sorry, but if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be offensive to people that are anti-Christ. And if you attempt to cloak it in nice clothing all of the time and not be offensive, you're going to be offending somebody, but it's going to be God. And it's time for us to rise up and get our voice back. To move into an alignment with the purposes of heaven, not to be abrasive. Because see, there's a difference between being bold and being abrasive. We can be bold as a lion and not be abrasive. Now some people, can I just be real honest? Some people are going to find you abrasive even when you're being kind. because they just don't want to hear truth. I'm pretty offended with some of the things the Antichrist system is putting out right now. And I'm pretty angry about it. But Scripture tells us to be angry and sin not. But somehow in our religious journey, we have taken a stance of just don't be angry. And we've accepted things. God said, I don't accept that. It doesn't matter. Back there on the, I'm not on my notes at all. Probably won't go there. So just, if we do, we do. But I don't think we're going there. How's this for just being family? Yeah. See, we've got to get out of this religious, complacent place. Now, I know in many ways I'm speaking to the choir, because y'all aren't exactly religious or complacent. But the deal is, if we really allow Holy Spirit to drop the plumb line in us, it'll reveal some places in us where we're still not fully being what He wants us to be. Where we find ourselves backing up because a thought dances across our mind that if we say what we really feel like Holy Spirit's saying, it'll cause trouble for us. It'll offend somebody. It'll cost us a relationship. And Jesus said for us to count the cost. But He also said for us to rightly discern who was our mother and father and brother and sister. And He said it was those that do the will of the Father. Right? And so God's wanting to work in us a boldness in this season. As we're stepping into 5783, we're stepping into this year of Gamel. There's so many words that go with this word. See, Hebraic numbers were actually letters that were pictographs that gave us story. It's a simple way of saying that. And so when we get to this year, one of the words that goes with this Gamel is Gabor. How many of you have heard the name of God, El Gabor? Mighty warrior. He's the mighty warrior. How many of you identify with God as mighty warrior? How many of you, if you were to look back in your religious upbringing, even knew the name El Gabor existed? I didn't. And I remember when I began praying El Gabor in some prayer meetings, and people would go, what? Like, He's our mighty warrior. He's our victorious soul warrior. He's the one that leads out in victory. He's never lost a battle. And are we not supposed to be like Him? See, we've been taught, be like Him as a gentle lamb. Right? And there's a place where we have to be led like a lamb, a sheep to slaughter. We have to die to ourselves. We have to be willing to go that pathway as that gentle one. But out of the gentleness in submission to the King, He raises up a mighty warrior. See, we've gone into one ditch, and God's saying, no, don't go into either ditch. Come down the middle with Me. And His middle isn't this thing of just get along with everybody. He's like, be who I am. Be a loving servant. Be gentle as a dove, but wise as a serpent. Turn away anger. Turn away wrath with a gentle word. But make no compromise with the hidden works of darkness. See, in many ways, the kingdom of God is this contrast of opposites. And yet they're not contradictory. They are the fullness of who he is. He's a loving father, but he's also a disciplinarian. That anybody who says, well, God just always talks to me in these nice little sweet phrases and says, oh, come on, daughter, come near. I'm like, He'll look at me and go, what are you thinking? For real, what are you thinking? Whose daughter are you anyway? A daughter of mine won't act that way. Straighten up. You're compromising. You're apologizing for what I told you to do. What are you thinking? This is the kind of messages I get. I don't get those nice little, oh, you're doing so great. But see, those words are his words of love to me. It's the words that say, you're doing great, come on. It's not stay where you are. I remember years ago the Lord said, I love you enough to not leave you the way you are. Isn't that a good word? That God's saying to each one of us in this year and this era of the mouth when we need to be releasing our sound, I love you enough to not leave you bound in complacency, bound in get along to get along. Come on, let's just get along with everybody. Let's make it happy. No, I love you enough to cause there to be some testings and trials to your faith, some pressing in on your journey that causes you to come into a greater strength of soul by my Spirit. See, our tests and our troubles are not to push us down, they're to build us up. They're not to bring you into defeat, they're bringing you into a place of victory. Because do you know that you will have no victory over the hidden works of darkness as long as the hidden works of darkness are inside you? Selah. That's the innermost workings of your being. What are you thinking about? How are you maneuvering? How are you treating people? How are you thinking through the process that God's got you on? Are you allowing it to strengthen you for the days ahead, or are you allowing it to put you back into a past season rather than bringing you into the season that he has for you in the future? See, the grace you walked with in the last 10 years will not take you into the next 10. It won't. It can't. See, we're not to be a... how do I want to say this? We cannot settle for where we were yesterday. I'm grateful for the journey. I'm grateful for where I am today in the Lord, but let me tell you something, I'm not satisfied. We need to move into a place where there's a satisfied, holy dissatisfaction. So that we're constantly in this place of, I delight myself in you, Lord, but I know there's more. There's this press and this pursuit of the more of God. This press and pursuit to be transformed more and more into his image. And part of that image is that he's El Gabor. God is not afraid of warfare. The American church has been afraid of warfare. The American church has been afraid to even talk about warfare. Hasn't wanted to hear about demons. In fact, there's many in the body of Christ that will say, Christians can't have one. Here's my answer. You can have anything you want. And if you want a demon, you can have it. But I'm going to tell you something. The glory of God is so increasing in the days ahead that if you are walking with demonic operation in your life, when you walk into glory, it's going to manifest and you're going to get set free. I see it coming. I walked into a service probably about 20 years ago. It was not a service I had planned to go to. I was going to go to the later one because I was tired and I wasn't going to get up early. And the Lord said, I want you going in the morning. I went to sit where, you know, we all kind of have our normal seats, right? And he said, no, don't sit there, sit here. So I sat down. Someone came in a few minutes later, sat down next to me. I knew them. We were in the middle of a conference. Didn't know them well, but I knew them. And we began singing the song we just did, Glorify Your Name. And the woman next to me began manifesting for real. First, it was a whimper, crying, and I thought, okay, well, she's responding to the glory of God. Then it went into a wail. Then she went into shaking, and I'm watching. Then she went on the floor, and I'm still watching. And I'm going, something's going on here. But she's screaming at this point and writhing on the floor like a snake. And I'm looking around. The pastor at the front's looking at me and going, what's like, kind of like this look of what's going on. I said, I need help. She was a lot stronger than me, and there was no way I could manhandle her. She lived on a ranch out west and tossed bales of hay. Okay, so I wasn't any number for that. We got help. Her husband got one side of her because she had at this point planked. Husband got one side, another man got the other, and we took her out the door and into the pastor's study and took her through deliverance. Radically delivered. I saw her about 3 years ago, and she said, that day changed my life forever. And the Lord keeps bringing that story up to me over and over and over again, because I'm telling you, as glory increases, the mighty warriors among us are going to begin to see people delivered and set free in an instant. Yeah. There's going to be an expeditious movement of the spirit of deliverance over the people who have been bound and tormented for years. It's the season we're in. That we've got to be ready to war and battle. And see, battling isn't always about taking out a sword. Sometimes it's about serving. We have to learn how to hear what is the Spirit of God saying in this moment. How is He saying we need to move in order to topple demonic strongholds? Number one, we have to recognize the strongholds that we're up against. In us, what are the battles that we're going through? What are the things that are holding each of us back from moving into God's purpose and destiny? What is it? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you what is it that you are being held back by. Sometimes we're held back because it's just not time, and God is working something in us so that He can work through us. But a lot of times there is a presence, there is a stronghold, there is something that is built up around you that it's not going to go away by you just saying, get out of my way. Amen. Come on. There is a tenacious fight that we have to engage in, set our feet, and push against it and say, I'm not bowing to that anymore. It may be your fear, doubts, and unbeliefs. It may be, well, I can't do that. Anybody ever said, I can't do that? When you have an I can't coming up, say, God, wait a minute. I know an I can't isn't you. It probably is cloaking an I won't. Ouch. That's when we have to get before the Lord and we're saying, okay, I don't feel like I can. Because that's real some days. I mean, some days it's like, I don't know what to do. Anybody else go there? Is that just Okay. Just make sure it's not just me. But there's no issue with that as long as you take it before the Lord and say, I don't know how to do this. I don't see my pathway, but I know you do. So I'm going to stay here with you and then do whatever you say do to in order to move out and press beyond my can'ts and I don'ts. Because he will give you a way. The word of God says that he always makes a what? A way of escape. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a way of escape out of the stronghold that's trying to hold me and keep me silent and pushed down. The body of Christ needs a way of escape right now. Out of the religious systems and structures of the past. See, even here as an apostolic center, we are warring against cultural expectations of what church is supposed to look like. See, today doesn't look like what church is supposed to look like. This message doesn't sound anything like what church is supposed to look like. But you know what? It's okay. It's not polished. It's not comfortable. But see, God wants us to break out of the confines of measuring up. Come on. Because we all have this measuring stick that's created by culture, by our history, by the way we think other things ought to be done and other people expect us to be. And when we don't measure up to that measuring stick, we somehow feel like we're a failure, right? We all go through that. But that's when you press in and you say, God, what do you say about me? Then you begin to rehearse who he says that you are, so that when you know that you know that you know who you are in Christ, and more importantly, who he is in you, you can stand up and go forth like a mighty warrior. And you can continue and you can move and you can press against those obstacles. And you won't be stuck in saying, well, this is the way I've always done it. See, we have this is the way I've always done it. And to give you a little secret about me, this is the kind of stuff God does to me when he's wanting me to shift. And to step out and walk on water in a new way. See, I had sent them slides back here. Had nice little notes and pages. And he goes, nope, not today. Not today. There are times we have methods that we have in our prayer time, in our own devotional time with the Lord. Anybody else have like a routine of what you do? And then all of a sudden you're going through it and you're doing what you've always done that brought you into the presence of God and brought you into a place of understanding what he was saying to you and an intercession and reading the word, and all of a sudden you go into that place and it's like flatline. And it's like you can't hear, you can't sense, you don't know anything. And he goes, that's because you're doing your method instead of following me. And there's nothing wrong with some methodology, but when we determine that we're just going to do our method, rather than listening, it becomes a form rather than a relationship. And he's wanting us to move with him relationally because he wants us to move into greater and greater measures of union and oneness with him. Because when we're one with him, we can move and we can go do whatever he tells us to do, and we will delight to do exploits. Anybody else around here want to do some exploits? I want to see some people set free. I want to see a city changed, a state changed, a nation changed. Other nations opened up to the gospel of the kingdom. People groups that haven't heard. And see, those people groups can even be within our culture, but they're a subset of our culture. And they don't really know the gospel of the kingdom. There's a whole subset in the body of Christ that only knows the gospel of salvation, and they don't know the gospel of the kingdom. They're looking to be born again so they can go to heaven, not to bring heaven to earth. And it's time for a people to rise up. It's time for us to find a way to loose the sound of our voice in the culture, to speak what needs to be spoken, to break out of the confines that may have been great for the last season. See, sometimes we walk through seasons and it's really good and we experience the goodness of God in that season. And we can even get to where we look back at those places and we're like, that was so good. And God, and then you're in this place and you're like, I'm not there, and I'm in this no man's land. Anybody ever feel that? And our tendency, because we're people who like routine, we like things the way we've always had them, right? Although there's a few of us that just like change and we kind of thrive on it. But typically, we like to go into what we know, what's comfortable. And God will take us through these places where we're not there and we're not here. We're somewhere in between. And it's to get us to move forward into where He wants us to be, where His mercies are new every morning, where fresh revelation is coming. What if David had just allowed himself to get settled as a shepherd on a hillside? What if when they came and got him and brought him in to Samuel when he was looking for the one to anoint as king to replace Saul? What if he had just said, no, I think I'll stay on the shepherd's hillside over here? But even after he was anointed, what if along the way and all the things that he had to go through between the anointing and the fulfillment, what if in some of those battles where Saul was chasing him, what if in some of those battles like at Ziklag, and they were defeated and they all want to take David out because they've lost their families and they've lost their possessions, what if David had said, this is too hard, I'll just go back to tending sheep on the hillside? See, the good thing about our God is He'll allow us to do that. But what would we miss? What would we miss? What if David had decided just to settle in as king over Judah, but not over all of Israel? What if he had decided, when Uzzah had reached out to balance and keep the Ark of the Covenant from toppling, what if he had just said, this is too hard? What if he hadn't fought against the fears of somebody else dying? What if he hadn't fought to find out the right way to bring in the glory? What if? What if he had said, you know what, God, it's too hard? See, this is where I believe we are right now. We've had a measure of the glory. Even as a ministry, we went through a season where we were located for a while, they even said to us, we feel like Obed-Edom's house housing the glory. But what if we got satisfied with the measure of glory we've got? What if we got satisfied with the measure of the rule and reign of the kingdom that we have? What if we got complacent? See, I look at David and I look at all that he went through. And he could have stopped anywhere along the way. But he didn't. Even when he had restored the Ark of the Covenant back into the tabernacle of David, even when he was fully established as king and he stumbled, he didn't stop. He returned. He kept turning, he kept turning, he kept turning, not away from God, but toward God. Crying out, "Take not your spirit from me." Revive us again, O God. Restore to us. Bring your glory. More of you, Jesus. More of your kingdom. More of your glory. More of your kingdom. More of your glory. More of your kingdom. More of your rule. More righteousness. More life. Anybody else want some more life? Yes. Not just a little life. He says we're to have abundant life. What does abundant life look like? What does more of the kingdom look like? What does it look like for us to really live as a kingdom people? What does it really look like for us to be an expression of His government on earth? What does it really look like? What does it really, really look like? I know that this year, that God is looking for us to be a people who are authentic in the releasing of the sound of kingdom. Because the sound of kingdom has permeated us. See, when the sound of kingdom permeates you, everything in you has to align with the kingdom of God. When His voice comes, when you meet with Him face to face, suddenly transformation begins to happen. Things that you've been struggling with, things you've been battling with, things you've been wrestling to get a victory over, when you see Him, suddenly you're changed. He wants us to be a people that have been so impacted by His presence and by His glory that we can't help but be who He tells us to be and to do what He tells us to do with no fear. He wants us to be a people that are prepared and positioned to plunder the enemy's camp. Has the enemy stole some things from you in this past season? Think about what he's stolen. Think about family members that are away from the Lord. That's the greatest loss. Vision, hope, Have you lost some vision, lost hope? Provision. See, I believe we're entering into a year that as we are changed by His glory in righteousness, justice, and truth, He's going to use us to plunder and take back what's been stolen. But let me just say this as a little side note. You will not be allowed to plunder what's been taken from you if you're not operating in the ways of the kingdom. You can't operate in hell's ways to accomplish heaven's means. You can't. If you're not living in righteousness and you're not pursuing the ways of God, don't expect to plunder hell because you're operating in hell's ways. We got to get this right, folks. We've been trying to get things with the arm of the flesh or with the same methods that were taken from us. And God says, no, you're going to walk in a higher way. You're going to walk in a way of righteousness. You're going to walk in a way of justice. You're going to walk in a way of truth. And we got to get the ways of the world and the ways of witchcraft out of us. Yes. It's got to happen. Yes. And we're going to learn how to press the wine. Somebody came to me and had a vision this morning during worship, or when they were rehearsing, that we were in the wine press pressing. And for a while nothing was happening, but then suddenly the flow began. See, we're going to have to get into a place that we are treading in our worship, treading in communion with the Lord until there is a release of the joy of the Lord and the rejoicing in our praise and worship, so that even when we start in praise and you're not feeling anything, anybody else ever go through that? Just keep treading. Keep pressing. Because if you will keep going, eventually the flow of the joy of the Lord's going to begin to start coming through you, and a sound of victory is going to come out. Don't get satisfied. Press. So joy of the Lord is our strength, and we need a fresh pressing out of the joy of the Lord. Because it is your strength. The way you'll gain strength for the coming year is as you press in praise and worship until the joy of the Lord overtakes you and you will be strengthened from the inside out. There's also in this year, you're going to come to the threshing floor. A threshing floor is where things are separated. It's interesting, when I first started in ministry some 30 years ago, the name of what I called my ministry to begin with was Threshing Floor. Feels like full circle. And see, where we are threshed and those things, the chaff is broken off, so that you can get to the kernel of wheat. Because it's in the kernel of wheat there's life. It's in the kernel of the wheat there is sustenance to feed. There's a breaker anointing that happens at the threshing floor, where God breaks off all those layers, those dead layers on the outside that are containing the very life of God. See, as we allow God to take us to the threshing floor, allow Him to break off of us those things of the past season that don't need to be there anymore. Even the way we think about things, the things that we think Well, this is the way it's always been, but it's now become a hard shell. And God's going, if you'll let me break that away, I've got a treasure on the inside that is beyond anything that you could have ever imagined. Don't hold on to the old. Allow the new to come forth. Bring forth the life that's on the inside. See, God's wanting to loose us as a people in this year to unlock the provision of heaven and unlock the provision of earth. And part of the way he's going to do it is walking us through the wine press and the threshing floor so that we become the authentic mighty warriors that he created us to become. So that out of our innermost being, out of the very core of who we are, a sound of deliverance comes forth. A sound of rejoicing comes forth. A sound of salvation comes forth. A sound of victory comes forth. He is our victorious mighty warrior. And we are called to be warriors with him. To release the sound of victory in the land. To see the kingdom of God manifested on earth as it is in heaven. And we need each other. We can't do this alone. None of us can. A phrase that keeps coming up over and over again in my spirit is we're stronger together. We're stronger together. See, we need each other. We need the grace that God's put on the inside of you. We need the life flow that comes from you to every other part of the body. Breaking out of what has held you captive in the last season will unlock the life flow out of you. Don't stay in the past season. Press it out, break it out, and come on in. Come in to the fullness of what God has for us in this year. I believe it's going to be a glorious year. It's going to be a warfare year. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through war alone. We need to be watching out for each other. We need to be engaging in intercession and worship together. And we need to be standing, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the grace of the Lord. With our heart fixed, our gaze fixed upon Christ, with our faith firmly rooted and established in what he has said, that this, for this state, I'm just going to say it for here right now. We are to be a state of glory. A governmental gate state for the revealing of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. A place through which his glory resounds. Because glory has a sound. And glory changes us. And I'm going to say this to each of you. You are carriers of glory. Carrying his glory everywhere you go. Listen for the sound of Holy Spirit wherever you go, day after day after day. Expect him to nudge you, speak to you, and say, speak to this person. Speak to this one. Say this. Ask if you could pray for that one. Be empowered to take the glory of God everywhere you go. let his glory manifest in you and through you in this year. And as glory manifests, there's going to be an unlocking of the sound of the King. The sound of the King. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, over each and every one, let there be a fresh baptism of glory. Explode on the inside. Break us out of the confines of the past. Press us beyond those things that would hold us captive to past seasons. And release out of us the sound of glory, the light of glory, and the power of glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your glory be revealed and let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ooh, glory. Well, God bless you all. Next weekend, don't forget Friday night. We have our next prophetic hub with Ken Malone. How many of you have heard Ken before? You're in for a treat. He's real excited. I texted back and forth with him this week. He really feels like he's got a strong word for us. He'll be here Friday night. And then on Saturday, women, if you have not registered yet, we have our Just Be women's event with Rose Sambrook and her daughter Melanie. We're going to have a tea party, and we're going to have a fashion show, and then we're going to have inspiration and challenge and worship. I've got a young woman I met a couple of weeks ago from Tupelo, Mississippi, coming in to lead worship. So that'll be fun for Saturday. And it'll be a great, great, great weekend. And Tuesday night will be our last week of the financial, Kingdom Financial Stewardship course. This is the last week. And if you are available to come and sign more letters on Tuesday at 5, please do. That's for the Right Now campaign for My Faith Votes. Remember to keep encouraging people to register to vote and to vote. Registration is open until October 10th, and we need people that will vote kingdom. Vote according to biblical standards. If you wonder what those are, take a list of what you believe out of the Word of God and measure the candidates by those things. That's your way. You have to do it. To vote any way that doesn't line up with the Word of God is to be counter to what you say you believe. And we cannot do that. We've done it for too long, and we've made excuses, but no more. No more. No more. Was there anything else? And I know some of you brought your offering during service. If you have not, remember to be faithful in your giving. I'm just going to say this for all of you. I am very, very grateful for your faithfulness and for God's goodness through you. In so, so many ways. I'm very, very, very grateful for each and every one of you. And I'm just going to say, the best is yet to come. Amen. Well, love on somebody, and we will be back Tuesday night and then on Friday. Be sure to be here Friday night. Let's don't miss it.
Thank you for listening to the City Gate Atlanta teaching. We hope you were encouraged, exhorted, and equipped. For more information about City Gate Atlanta, our resources, or upcoming conferences and events, go to citygateatlanta.org.